Blog Talk Radio.
Another fine show brought to you by the Law of Attraction Radio Network. The Law of Attraction Talk Radio is the radio show that is changing the world through science and spirituality as we realize that our well-being and our happiness is through our own thoughts. The Law of Attraction Talk Radio. The Jules. Welcome to Law of Attraction Talk Radio. I'm Jules from beautiful and peaceful Southern California. Wow, are you going to love tonight's show? It's all about this phenomenal new DVD movie called The Living Matrix, and it has incredible information that will literally change the way you think about your body, your mind, and medicine. The Living Matrix delivers a powerful statement that every human being is a powerful creature in which we have abilities to heal ourselves. It's verification that we live beyond our 3D reality and are discovering the fourth dimension, where scientific documentation is now showing that the field that surrounds us is a reality. If you want to view yourself in a totally different light and see yourself as the magnificent being that you really are, you will want to stay tuned for this fantastic show. Now, on Law of Attraction Radio Network, check out Anthony Bryce's 6 Degrees show. Last weekend, he did a marathon of interviews with the Masters Gathering in San Diego. Wow, he's got like 6 or 7 interviews that share some incredible insight. And don't forget to check out all the other shows on Law of Attraction Radio Network, such as Snap Out of It or Conscious Creation with Dee Wallace, or The Moses Show. Each one has an inspirational message that we all need to hear. And remember, it's so much easier to manifest wonderful things when you're in a grateful state of well-being. And the way to stay in that grateful state is to keep on tuning in to the Law of Attraction Radio Network. Now, next week's guest on Law of Attraction Talk Radio is Lisa Gibbons. Lisa is a celebrity that we all recognize, but she's also the author of a very important book called Take Your Oxygen First. This is all about Alzheimer's disease, but it's mostly about caregivers in any situation. It's beautifully written, and it's co-authored with Dr. Huisman and Dr. Laird, who will be joining us as well. It's going to be really, really a great show and something that we will all need to know about. So let's hear from our sponsors, and then we'll get right into the Living Matrix movie. In today's world, more and more people are turning to the internet to make money. If you're serious about creating a new source of income, then make your website an easy site. TheEasySite.com is even a great way to rejuvenate your existing website and increase traffic flow while maintaining the site yourself. It's easy. Attract new income your way with a professional website the easy way. Remember, TheEasySite.com. That's www.theEasySite.com. Access your forgotten abilities to create a happy and joyful life that is filled with abundance through the Law of Attraction Radio Network. Listen to shows that will inspire and uplift your consciousness, required to fulfill your desires, by downloading your favorite shows to your MP3 player. Join us at loaradionetwork.com. That's loaradionetwork.com. Great, now let's talk about the movie makers of The Living Matrix. And before I bring out the director, Greg Becker, and the executive producer, Harry Massey, and Susan Becker, who is another producer, I want to talk first about the movie, The Living Matrix. For the first time in medical history, scientists have gained significant momentum in presenting evidence-based research that reveals energy and information fields, not genetics, control human biology. The Living Matrix is a new documentary that challenges conventional medicine to incorporate this evidence into its approach to healthcare. It's the first film to bring together some of the most respected scientists, academics, and practitioners to explore theories in bioenergetic medicine, such as our friends Bruce Lipton, Eric Pearl, Lynn McTaggart, Roland McCrady, Edgar Mitchell, Marilyn Schlitt of the Institute of Noetic Sciences, and many, many more. The Living Matrix is a catalyst to change in improving our healthcare system. And let me be perfectly clear on this. It's not about improving health insurance. It's about improving the way that we understand our bodies to work. I am thrilled to have on the show tonight the director of The Living Matrix, Greg Becker, who's been a director, producer, and filmmaker for the last 25 years. He has a lifelong passion for understanding the latest scientific discoveries and how they relate to everyday life. And we have executive producer Harry Massey, who studied economics at England's University of Southampton and went on to gain a master's degree in business administration. His pursuit of innovation in alternative healing stems from a severe case of chronic fatigue syndrome. He accelerated his journey back to health when he met scientist and doctor of Chinese medicine, Peter Fraser. Now, for those of you who have not heard of Peter Fraser, he developed the body field therapy, which combines physics, biology, and Eastern medicine, and gave Massey a brand new life. Harry was and Harry is determined to make this healing process known to people all over the world. And tonight, Harry's calling in from Spain, so I'm so delighted that he could be with us. Also with us is producer and distributor Susan Becker, who owns the company Imaginate with her director husband, Greg. I am so delighted to have you all here tonight on Law of Attraction Talk Radio. Welcome.
Well, thank you for having us, Jules.
Well, actually, it's my thanks to you for making such a tremendous, life-changing movie. This is wonderful. I just love it.
Well, great. Well, thank you.
So, Harry, you are actually the person who brought this idea to the forefront, to Greg. So tell us about your motivation.
It's about a 12-year history, but when I was 21, I ended up with chronic fatigue syndrome for about 8 years. And during that period, I sort of went from doctor to doctor, and then I didn't get very far with the biochemical drug doctor route, and so I got more interested in alternative medicine and trying out naturopathic techniques and that type of thing. But there was always something missing, and I didn't really manage to get any better, but I also wasn't getting worse. So I knew there was some other better solution. And during that period, I then started investigating more into energy medicine, and then sort of the first ideas that there might be something perhaps a bit more to energy medicine, and the sort of first initial steps of informational medicine sort of came into view when I met Peter Fraser, who was from Australia, and he'd been mapping out the human body field, which acts, if you like, as a sort of an informational blueprint for how the body should work. And in meeting him, because he helped cure me of my chronic fatigue syndrome, I'd been on a path of being extremely ill and of finding a way out of it. And I just wanted to share that type of methodology with other people. And so the idea of making the movie when I first met Greg is both of us could see that there was a, you know, that there was a much better explanation for what was going on in the body, and that we really didn't think anyone really had much of an understanding and those ideas weren't communicated at all. So that's why we set up to make the movie.
Well, I applaud you for letting your disease become the tool in which to educate the world. Greg, was all this information new to you, or did you know anything about it?
I did have some understanding of quantum physics. I've been kind of doing research into those areas. And, of course, I'd seen films like What the Bleep and, you know, things that have kind of scratched the surface with the idea of how quantum physics affects our reality, but not really in the healing realm. It was kind of a whole new area. And it was, I'd tell you, one of the fun things about making the film was going on this journey of just learning all these different ideas and pathways and finding new ways to implement them and make it into one giant cohesive, you know, understanding of the story in the end. I mean, it was a tremendous journey for all of us, really.
What an exciting journey. Susan, I know you're the producer, but you're also the distributor as well, aren't you?
Well, actually, I acted as the producer for most of the shooting that went on in the United States. So I've been really actively involved in helping put the movie together and also in setting up our distribution, which we've started on the Internet, and it's been going really, really well. And we're expanding that right now with some distributors all over the world. But so I've been involved from the very beginning. And as Greg said, it's been just a transformational journey, and we've learned so much. I've learned so much, and it's also changed me in many ways. So it's very exciting.
No doubt all of your lives have changed, because this is truly a life-changing movie. So tell me, how did you go about getting all of these phenomenal scientists and academics in your movie? I mean, they're from all over the world, and they're top-notch.
Well, it was really kind of an interesting pathway. I mean, we started out we were in Germany and working with a couple of people there were helping us just to locate some physicists, and Harry had known quite a few people initially, but it was kind of a synergistic flow that happened as we started down the pathway, where the doorways would open up and different people would just appear, and we were able to organize our schedules and get them, you know, to appear on the film themselves. So it was really an interesting experience in itself.
Well, when you're on the right path, things just flow incredibly, like miracles.
I think that's what happens sometimes when you get on the path and everything works synchronistically. Greg and Harry had done a lot of reading, and they knew some of the people that they definitely wanted to contact. But then those people would suggest other people that we hadn't thought of and open the doors so that we could get in to interview them. So it all unfolded in a beautiful way.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's the sort of the perfect example of the law of attraction in action. I mean, we had quite a clear vision of what we wanted to portray in the movie, and then the people came along to show that. And I mean, one example of that you just brought up is we didn't actually know Eric Pearl, and but the reason he came about is we really wanted a really moving story, and what we had in our head, perhaps a young child, either a young boy or girl, that would open the movie. And we didn't actually have that example until the last moment. And then suddenly Eric turned up in San Francisco and mentioned this boy he'd just treated with cerebral palsy in Greece, and he was suddenly cut into the movie in the last 2 months, I think.
That was a great story with Eric Pearl and that little boy. Oh, very moving. So what was the mission or the message of the movie that you want people to walk away with?
Well, it's really a positive message of hope, because there's so many people out there who have chronic fatigue, or they have some kind of chronic syndromes that are kind of at the end of their ropes, and they don't have an idea of what possibilities are out there beyond the traditional allopathic medicine, or maybe they've looked a little bit, but they haven't had a chance to really see, you know, how many options are out there. What are their areas of possible of things that you could implement into your life and help you to change your health? And I think that's really the positive message that we're trying to come across with here. It's a message of empowerment. Take responsibility for your health. Go out and look at these options. And if you do the research, you'll see there's some fascinating things that are happening. It's an explosive time. I mean, the amount of information and the new methodologies that are coming out, it's just mind-boggling what's happening.
I think one of the other goals of the film was to bring together all of these. We have over 16 researchers and practitioners who are on the leading edge of bioenergetics and informational healthcare, and to show that their work is very valid, and there's a lot of scientific evidence that shows how and why these different approaches work. And I don't think that people really have had the chance to access this information, and we just wanted to pull it together and make it really accessible and understandable so then people can go on and find out more. But we just wanted to put that message out there that this is really very exciting work and it's very valid work.
I would completely agree with everything Susan and Greg just said there. That maybe the only other additional message was to get across that about information itself, because I think up to now, currently in alternative medicine, there's been a lot of talk about energy medicine, but no one's really understood what on earth that might be, and the big fact that everyone has missed out, that it's actually information that controls biology. So that was one of the key messages that we wanted to bring out to the world.
Well, here's the message that I got from the movie. It's that we are not just objects waiting for things to happen to us. It's the power of our mind. It's the power of the field around us. It's the power of us, that we do have the power to heal ourselves within the Western modality of medicine. But what it's also saying is that it's time that we start demanding of our physicians to go back to school and to learn about epigenetics, or to learn about this, because we are the ones that heal ourselves. It's not actually the physician, it's us. We are responsible for our own healing.
Yeah, it's a very good point. But I think what's so fascinating about biology is that if you take the Newtonian Western model, it's that you just, under that type of paradigm, it's that genes supposedly control biology, and really there's not a lot you can do to change yourself. But what we've really seen in making this movie is, in actual fact, you can pretty much turn your body into anything. It goes beyond just making yourself healthy. You can actually make yourself more psychic, more intelligent. You can change yourself into an incredible sports person. And there's really not a lot of limit of where you can go with this.
Well, I was going to say, I think you raise a really good point, and I think part of the underlying message here is to say, look, it's time to start demanding change in a way, to really say that this allopathic method that we're using, it certainly has its use. If, you know, there's a great quote from Lynn McTaggart who says, gee, if I'm hit by a bus tomorrow, I don't want homeopathy. You know, I want the best that regular allopathic medicine can give me. But at the same time, there's obvious areas that need to be explored. The research is there. It's starting to come out that these things need to be incorporated into our healthcare systems. And I think that's the underlying message as well. And we're going to start to see that, certainly here in the United States, where there's this moment right now where the administration is looking at healthcare and saying, we need some change here. And I think that's fundamentally what this movie can accomplish as well on a grassroots level, is to help people say, yeah, we need some change and we need to implement some of these new ideas into that change.
Well, as you mentioned, short of an emergency, perhaps they're going to discover that we really don't need health insurance after all.
There's a huge potential there that we could cut some of these costs way down. I think Bruce has got a really good line on that.
Exactly. Bruce stated in the movie that one-third of all healings have to do with the placebo effect. He also stated that we could cut the cost of healthcare dramatically if doctors would properly know how to use the placebo effect in modern medicine.
It goes a lot more beyond just placebo. I mean, if people actually sort of use informational healthcare or bioenergetic medicine properly, although it might cost a little bit more than placebo, in the end, information is pretty much free. And that compared to doing surgeries or doing or taking very expensive drugs. I mean, ultimately, I don't think a healthcare system can actually self-sustain where it's at the moment. So in the end, I think information in healthcare will be the healthcare of the future, because it's in effect practically free.
Practically free through educational information. We will not have as many needs to have surgery or pharmaceuticals. Fascinating.
It's not just about the information of how to be healthier. I mean, one of the major parts of the movie is that it's actually the information that controls biology itself. You can actually put into a body the information on how your heart should work properly or how your liver should work, and that just sort of activates the self-healing mechanism in your body. And that's a much more efficient and cheaper way than trying to get a chemical to do it with all its side effects. So you can directly input the information into how a body should work. And I think that's the healthcare of the future, where you're putting information into the body rather than any nutrition or drugs or anything else.
Wow. Providing our bodies with the information needed to correct any illness or disease in the body instead of taking drugs or chemo or anything, or even nutrition. Isn't that amazing?
Definitely.
It is. I mean, it just shows that people are really so much more powerful than we imagined that we could be. And we can take responsibility for our health, and we can really make changes. We don't have to depend on the doctor. We can depend on ourselves. I think that's a big message of the movie, is if people see things in the movie that they're interested in, they can take the responsibility to go and find out more about it. And so there's many options that are there for them.
Great, great point, Susan. So tell me, what do you all think about this big scare that we had called the swine flu just a few short weeks ago?
Swine flu is actually a manufactured pseudo disease that doesn't even exist. I mean, it probably gets a little bit political here, but see, there's a massive PR campaign behind the invention of swine flu to make vaccines to sell both to the U.S. government and also all across the Western world, and you can just create a disease that didn't exist. I don't believe there's any such thing as swine flu myself.
Well, I think it just is, again, a case of the media blowing something way out of proportion, as well as what Harry just indicated, becoming more of a fear-based campaign. There's flu all the time. I mean, probably the number of people that die from the normal flu greatly exceeds the number of people who've died from the swine flu. But the media likes to blow that out of proportion and create a big drama, and because they're trying to sell papers, sell news. So they create a whole fear-based campaign, and I think people just need to not buy into that and just stay positive and not believe in that, not buy into that.
That actually leads me back to something that's in the film. I mean, we purposely set out to make a film that had a very positive message and nothing negative about it. We didn't want to dwell on, gee, here's the reverse side of this, and talk to allopathic medicines. You know, the message here really wanted to be a positive message, because I think that's so needed in the world today. It's so easy to get media that's telling you what's wrong or a fear campaign, that it's really important to put out something now that has a positive inspirational message, and that's one of the key motivating factors for me for making the film.
Definitely, because what you're doing is providing the information on how sharp and how attentive the human mind is and how susceptible it is to fear and the media. That's really important to grasp here.
I think it's more fundamental than that. I think it's oneself can attract that. I mean, You can either buy into the media and buy into what you're hearing, or you can choose to watch the Living Matrix or to listen to the Law of Attraction radio station. I mean, each of us has the choice of matching into positive information, or each of us has the choice of matching into fear-based media. And anyone can go either way, and ultimately it has to come from yourself. I don't think really the media is necessarily responsible for making everyone ill. I think ultimately we're all responsible to what we choose to match into.
Absolutely. It comes down to choice on how we want to think, how we want to feel, and how we want to educate ourselves, how we want to match. You know, I want to talk about some information that I got from the movie that was just stuff I'd never heard before. Marilyn Schlitz was talking about an experiment of couples, one in which had cancer. Can you tell us about that?
Sure. It's an interesting study. It's called a compassion study, I believe. I'm trying to remember the exact name.
Compassionate intention study.
Yeah, the study on compassionate intention. And they took two couples. They took couples who obviously were in a relationship and one had cancer and the other did not. And the idea was to train the person who was healthy in this idea of compassionate intention through things like meditation and how to visualize. And they separated them into separate rooms, and they put the person with cancer in one in a completely magnetically sealed Faraday cage. There was no possibility of any electromagnetic interference or anything coming into this room. And the other person was located far away. And they specifically focused at random times on this idea of sending intention to the person inside the magnetically shielded room. And they were able to show by looking at the brainwave patterns, the physiological responses on a chart, they can specifically show where the intention was focused. They could see the changes in the physiology of the person inside the room. So obviously there's a definite connection between those two people that's there, and it's affecting that person's physical manifestation of their physiology. It's obvious that it's there. And it's certainly not something that's standard electromagnetic waves, because they're completely isolated from each other. So the study suggests that there's some other method of communication that takes place between people. And I think that's kind of where we branch off and say, well, look, the whole notion of the field, that everybody's immersed in this field, certainly is a reason why these people can be in communication and why these effects can happen. So it's kind of two things. It's showing you that there is a communication, and it shows you that there is the ability to have an effect on another person.
And it's not limited by time or space.
Isn't that interesting? Outside influence can affect our well-being, then.
Well, I think there's a lot of research that kind of you can tie into those two areas. There's research from HeartMath where they talk about a person who's in this coherent heart state has a definite impact on another person's brainwave activity, or vice versa. You can actually see the brainwave activities become in sync when you come into contact with another person. There's a way that you, on an energetic level, sort of establish a interconnection.
I've just been writing in a new book that I was writing about this mastering life using information and energy today, and it's really quite interesting, because in that heart mass research, when you're going into that coherent state, which is a state of trying to put out the sort of positive emotions of appreciation and gratitude and love, when you're in those types of states, that brings you into that sort of into that state of allowing. So if you're in the state of allowing, you're more easily able to manifest things into your life. And on an informational level, what that's really saying is, when the heart's in a coherent state, you're able to much more easily transmit information out there, and you're also therefore much more easily able to receive information back. And that has implications for both your health, but also for if you're trying to manifest events into your life, which I presume matches back into the sort of the main subject of your radio station in the law of attraction. So I think it's extremely, extremely important if you're trying to attract both health and events in your life that you go into that state of allowing, which is bringing your heart into a coherent state.
So again, let me just clarify. You're saying that we can influence other people in their healing? Do I have that right?
No, you can't. It's only if the other person is also matching into that state. I mean, you can't actually heal someone else or influence someone else unless they're allowing that to happen. So, I mean, if they're not in a state of receiving, or if they're not in the coherent state, then no, I don't think it will happen. So there's a, you know, there's a synchronicity between both patient and healer.
I just was going to say that in that study, those people were very connected because they were life partners. So
uh-huh.
there was a connection already between them, and that was one important factor in the study.
So that increased the heart coherence. Interesting. Ariel Essex, the osteopath who wanted to have children but developed a brain tumor that actually caused infertility, said how ironic it was that every cell in my body was saying, I want children, and somehow I created a tumor that stopped me from having children. Well, I guess that tells us that we can desire, we can create anything, but if we have big blocks within us, that we kind of need to go about digging deep and getting rid of those. Is that correct?
Well, I think she wasn't in a state of allowing about wanting to have children. It was more of a desperate need, and she had a negative emotion connected to wanting children. So that's why she manifested not being able to have children.
So did she ever have children after discovering the psychological block that was keeping her from having children to begin with?
No, she didn't. But she did come to terms with that through her exploration through NLP, and she was able to discover what her real feelings about having children were, which she didn't consciously realize. It was very deep. Subconscious, she was finally able to access that and acknowledge what her true feelings were, and she had a conflict, and she was able to accept it and resolve it and live with it. And when she did accept it and accepted her brain tumor, then it went away. Fine, but she did work through that.
She also had tumors in her ovaries, which I'm not sure was mentioned in the movie, but she had tumors in her ovaries and in her brain, and I think they were actually in the part of her brain that was related to her ovaries, which is even more interesting.
And today it should be noted she's completely free of all tumors, and she's proof positive that the mind, body, heart can heal itself. Susan, you had made reference to a fact about time and space. And Edgar Mitchell mentioned in the movie about a cathedral where energy stayed with the place for a long period of time. The field of reference doesn't go away. It stays. So let's go into this a little bit more.
The field is always there surrounding us, and the energy is there. So when you want to access something, you can focus on that. Become aware of that energy. If you're not focused on it, you probably won't necessarily be aware of it. But when you enter a place like a cathedral where people have come in and they're very reverent, they're there with their intention and everything that, you know, they come into a cathedral and it's a very holy place, and they come in with that attitude, and you can really feel it when you enter that space because it's very strong and people are in that state where they're open to that. So
that's exactly what I was going to say. It's as soon as people go into a particular space, that their brains are transmitting information, that information gets imprinted into space. And just in what Susan was saying, when you have a lot of people over centuries and centuries in a confined space like a cathedral, you're getting huge amounts of imprints of information about a particular revered state, and it's very easy to pick back on that imprint when you go into a space like a cathedral. You'd get the same in a football stadium of elation, or in a pop concert stadium of elation. You get it in nightclubs, and you probably get imprints of road rage on highways, etc. And interestingly enough, if you drive down the road, I'm sure it happens to almost everyone, as you drive down the road, I personally get these little flashbacks where I see little car accidents as I'm driving along. I suddenly get, and that's just picking up imprints as you're driving along of previous incidents, of dramatic incidents. And
wow, that brings such great clarity to me. You know, I'm sure many people have had this experience, but I remember going to Hawaii, going to Pearl Harbor, standing on that beautiful memorial of the Arizona, and beneath it is the ship that literally has all of these sailors who perished during the Pearl Harbor attack. That was the saddest experience. You could just feel the sadness just take hold of you. Now I realize it's the imprint or the field which has no time or space limitations. Fascinating. Harry, perhaps you could speak on this issue. Science is now showing that the memory is not in the brain, but in the field. Well, this is an incredible concept. Should we be striving to open up our antennas to receive more information?
Yeah, the brain, if you like, is, you should really view it as a great transmitter and receiver. And I think Lynn gave a great example in the film. It's not a very nice example, but they took a rat's brain and put it through a mince grinder and put it back in the brain. I mean, it's incredible that you can survive that. But the rat was still able to walk around a maze, albeit in a very sort of drunken type fashion, but its memory wasn't in a location in the brain. And it sort of shows that the memory was actually in space outside the brain. And obviously you get that with the whole law of attraction thing, that the brain must be transmitting information back out into the universe and receiving it back again. And yeah, absolutely, memory is not solely in the body, and it may not be in the body at all.
Well, that begs the next question. What about Alzheimer's? Does that mean that the antenna is broken if it's not receiving from the field?
I mean, in Alzheimer's, you get huge amounts of build-up of plaque in the cavities of the brain. I mean, if you can imagine, I don't know if you can picture a brain, but on the top of the brain, you get these two long elongated cavities, and cavities are really what can act as a transmitter and receiver of information. And in Alzheimer's, if you dissect that brain, you get all these huge calcium build-ups where there used to be liquid which can receive and transmit information easily. It just turns into calcium, and basically, yes, exactly that. The transmitting and receiving mechanism gets rusted up, if you like, and broken down, and that's exactly what happens. I mean, I could take that further, if you like. James Oshman came up with this, the concept of the living matrix, in that the matrix of the body is acting, if you like, as a superconductor of information. And he based that on the work of an Albert, I can't pronounce his surname, but it's something like Grodzki, who was a Hungarian biologist. He's also the guy who got a Nobel Prize for vitamin C research about 30 years ago. But he showed that the bisodium solution in interconnected tissue can work as a superconductor of information. And that's exactly, of course, what's inside your brain is huge amounts of bisodium solution. And obviously, as that disappears and just calcifies, then its ability to conduct information goes.
So now we just need to get the information to the brain so that it can heal itself from Alzheimer's. Although that must be another long topic for us to discuss. But let's go on. You know, it appears that without even knowing it, we are all extending our antennas because the amount of information that's flowing to each one of us, the shift of consciousness, is just astounding. It's like we're ever expanding to receive more and more knowledge. Is there a way that we can expand even more, reach our antennas up to receive more?
I think once you're on that process of realizing about this new type of world and how it works, it naturally expands anyway. I mean, I'm sure Greg and Susan will agree with me, and that's our mutual experience, that as our own understanding has increased, we've noticed a much greater synchronicity in what we're drawing in as we're expanding ourselves. But I think that happens to anyone as they sort of get that aha moment in sort of evolving their own consciousness, that they do suddenly end up accessing and attracting more similar information. And I mean, historically, that information, obviously, a lot of it's been there through the ancient Chinese philosophies and through all the Indian and Ayurvedic and Buddhist and Hindu type philosophy. So it's not entirely new. It's just perhaps a bit more cohesive with modern science ideas.
Well, am I wrong in assuming that if we can rid ourselves of a lot of these detrimental old thought patterns that we've accumulated throughout our life, all of these old fears and emotional patterns, that we could then open ourselves out to receive more knowledge?
No, if you are, as you just noted, get rid of some of the negative self-talk or the patterns that you keep repeating, and you're taking up your time and your energy with that, then you're not opening yourself up to other information or focusing on what else you could be learning or receiving. So if you can become more in control of your thoughts and open up more space in yourself, then you have more room to receive and transmit.
It kind of goes back to this idea of morphic resonance, too, that Edgar Mitchell was talking about, where there is this information that's out there, and it comes back to what have you resonating with, what are you in tune with. And when you start to change those patterns of what you're in tune with, you start to open up to new access, more information. The information has been out there. It's still out there. And certainly it's becoming more available because larger people are becoming, or larger numbers of people are starting to attract that or attune into that at this time, I think.
Greg, I'm sure as the filmmaker that you had hours and hours and hours of information that you had to condense down into a watchable movie. Was there anything that you wanted to be in the movie that you just couldn't fit in?
Well, there is a lot that's on the cutting room floor, because it is over 70 hours worth of interviews that we went through. You know, I have to say that I think the best parts, I mean, certainly the juiciest moments are there in the film. There's no doubt about that. And, you know, yeah, there are quotes from people who help to embellish different points that would be wonderful to have in there, but there's just time and space restrictions, you know? So I don't think we left out any earth-shattering concepts. I mean, everything that's really appropriate, that has impact and has emotional appeal is in there. And that's I think I'm really proud of what we were able to create with that and the structure we were able to put across. We do have a nice cohesive story that flows through this. I think that's worked very well. And I you know, there are little sound bites here and there that sometimes will pop into my brain and I remember them, and they're wonderful little quotes, but I really don't think they would have made a huge difference for the movie itself.
Editing out 70 hours worth of powerful, life-changing information. Oh my goodness, that must have been so much fun.
This was really part of the whole, that goes back to this idea of the journey again, because it was really, there was a hunger in my mind. I really wanted to understand this information and really get to the, you know, find these people who are the leaders and get, really kind of probe their brains a little bit and find out what kind of ideas they have. And I'll tell you, it's just such a wonderful thing to sit in there and watch it over and over again. You really start to understand these core concepts and get them into, and really get them to synchronize into your own brain in a way. So it was a great experience on that end. You know, a lot of work, but you know, wonderfully mind expanding at the same time.
Well, I'm going to tell you, I'm envious, and this movie is so fantastic. I think everybody should have the Living Matrix DVD in their homes and not just watch it once, but watch it many, many times so that you can grasp the information. On top of that, I think that everybody who is listening to this program needs to go out and buy not just one, but two or three and start giving them away as gifts. And here's how you can order it. Go to www.thelivingmatrixmovie.com. That's thelivingmatrixmovie.com. Now, if everyone listening went to thelivingmatrixmovie.com and bought two or three of the DVDs to give away, you would be affecting a very, very powerful change, not only for the individual that you give it to, but by the ripple effect, you will be changing the medical profession. You will be changing the need for medical insurance, and you will be facilitating more research into the field, all because you gave away the Living Matrix. And besides the DVD, you can attend one of these live events. They're having these premieres all over the world right now. Isn't that correct?
We are having screenings all around the world. And our next one is going to be at the Asia Consciousness Festival in Hong Kong. And after that, we'll be at the IONS Conference in Tucson in June. And the very end of June, June 29th, we'll be at the ISEAM Conference in the Denver area. And that conference, that screening is open to the public, and we'd like to invite any listeners in the Denver area to join us there. It's going to be a great event. And if people want to know more about the events, they can go to our calendar on our website and access information there. And also for the June event at the ISEAM conference, they can go to the website if they want to get more information or purchase a ticket, and that's june29.eventbrite.com. And we'll have more information about that on our website too. We wanted to invite people to join our host a screening program, which we're going to be launching within the next couple of weeks. So you will be able to go on the website and get more information about this. But really what this is about, and we appreciate so much you helping make this, get the information out to your listeners, but we want other people to also help us spread the word, so to speak, through a grassroots movement. So we're launching a program where people can purchase basically a screening opportunity, and they can organize a home screening or a screening for a group that, or organization that they belong to. And these can be both big and small. So we're really excited about bringing this out into the world with a lot of people, making it accessible to a lot of people this way.
Well, that definitely sounds like fun, having a home screening event in which you can show the movie to everyone, and then you can hold discussions afterwards, and that's got to be quite exciting. There's so much information that you want to talk to people afterwards and just go over it.
I'd also just like to mention IBIH, which is the Institute for Bioenergetic and Informational Healthcare, of which a few of the people in the film are on its scientific advisory board, like James Oshman and Peter Fraser, and also Ronan McCracy. There's just a massive need, and the film, if you like, it's just sort of opened up this massive need for research, and it's such an underfunded part of it. I say part of the industry, but all of these researchers also need a lot of help in trying to prove some of these concepts and help to spread their work further. So I'd just like to say, if anyone has more interest in the research angle, that they should take a look at the www.idih.com, which is its website.
That's www.idih.com. So what do you guys see for the future of medicine?
Actually, this is a great quote from
from Dean Radin, who's in the movie. He has a he talks about information, and this is one of the ones that ended up on the cutting room floor. But he talks about the future of medicine, and he made a wonderful point. He said, you know, back in the 70s and 80s, there were researchers talking about how the people who were going into these meditative states and meditating were having changes in their physiology. They were reducing their stress levels, and it was a positive of health thing. And at the time, allopathic medicine or traditional medicine just said, well, this is bunk. You know, how can meditation do anything? But now if you look at a lot of health organizations, you'll find that they have these stress reduction programs incorporated into their facilities. And he made the point that we're just now starting to see this whole energetic and informational area really start to come into life with all of these studies that are happening. And so he envisions a time, it may take 20 years, and we're all hoping it's a lot less, but he envisions a time when all of these things will become incorporated as well into the healthcare models. So you'll see a place for this bioenergetic, and you'll see all of that will be incorporated conjoined with the allopathic. And to me, that's the ultimate goal, would be to find a great way to incorporate all of these ideas and make it into one cohesive unit.
Well, that sounds wonderful, but why don't we set our intention for 3 years instead of 20 years? I mean, everything's moving so fast, and information is flowing at incredible speeds. We can speed everything up.
Well, I think that's the point that Marilyn Schlitz makes in the film, and she says, we really have to shift from a disease-centered paradigm to a healing-centered paradigm and incorporate these new ideas and learn about them and try to integrate them into our current Western medical paradigm. And that's what really needs to happen.
I was just going to say, I see it as informational bioenergetic healthcare give a real avenue for preventative healthcare. So if I had a vision for the future, it would be that the people start being able to use these types of concepts for preventative healthcare, and then the allopathic model more fits in when it gets to an emergency situation or surgery or gunshot wounds, and that all of it eventually will encompass as a whole.
Well, here's how I look at it. If people can grasp this information that you provide in this wonderful DVD, then the medical profession will begin to grasp it. They'll have no choice. And people will start realizing that we are responsible for our own happiness and for our own health. That way, we become a happier society. And with that, we become a healthier society. We become a peaceful society. And that's what my intention is for the future.
You're absolutely right.
I think that's the great point. You can choose to control your own biology. You can become whatever you want to become.
One last question. What do you see in the future for you? Is there another movie coming up?
Well, I certainly think there'll be another film. There's been such a tremendous response from this one. We've had great success in the screenings we've had both in Europe and in the U.S., where we've had sellout crowds everywhere we've shown the film. So there's clearly a demand for the information. People are very excited about it. So I think you can envision a Living Matrix 2 at some point.
Oh, wonderful. You can count on seeing me at the front of the line waiting for it.
Wonderful.
I mean, there's also the possibility we may take this further into communicating mini documentaries and other films in this subject in sort of doing through internet television.
Well, that's an exciting way to get the word out. Great. Well, that's about all the time we have today, but I want to thank the guest. Harry, thank you so much for calling in from Spain tonight.
Oh, thank you very much for the opportunity of coming on your radio. It's been great.
Well, Harry, thanks for being such an inspiration to all of us. And Greg, thank you so much, especially for this wonderful film that you directed.
Well, thank you, and thanks for allowing us to come on your radio and have a wonderful chat with you. I appreciate your time.
It was all my pleasure, Greg. This has been fantastic. And Susan, thank you so much for all of your insight.
Well, thank you, Jules. It was really wonderful to talk with you.
Well, listeners, let's help the Living Matrix get out to the public every which way. Go and buy two or three copies now, and let's start changing the world. So we'll talk to everyone next week. Have a great one. Thank you for joining us on Law of Attraction Talk Radio with Jules. For more information, go to Law of Attraction Radio Network at lawofattracttalkradio.com or lawofattractiontools.com.